What up? This is James Manning, the creative director for Royal Decca and the host of Skate to Create podcast. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show, for downloading it, and for telling a friend. We really appreciate it, you know, all the feedback that you guys have been giving us. And if this is your first time listening to Skate to Create, this is a show where we talk to entrepreneurs, freelancers, industry professionals, pro skaters, and we really try to, you know, get their story and figure out how they achieved some of the really amazing things that they've achieved. And we do all of that so that we can extract that information and help you guys to do the same. You know, whether it's starting a business or maybe it's, you know, a project that you're working on or some other creative endeavor, that's what this show is about. You know, every episode that we do, we want to be able to help you guys. And if you've been listening to the show and you like the show, feel free to go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. Whenever you guys do that, whenever you click that 5 stars and give us a rating on iTunes, it helps the show out so much. So if you like what you're hearing and you know you appreciate it, then we would definitely appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating in iTunes. And if you can't do that for whatever reason, just telling a friend would help out so much too. Whenever you guys share the show, not only are you helping someone out with maybe getting them closer to where they want to be, but we are definitely benefited by that too. You know, whenever the show is being shared, it's obviously growing. So if you can do that, if you can share the show or leave us a 5-star rating, we would love it so much. So I just wanted to say a few things about what's been going on with the show. If you've been listening for a while, you've known that we started earlier, you know, let's say like a year ago, September of 2014. And it's been a crazy ride after, I mean, it hasn't been like something that's worth writing home about, but we've been doing a whole lot within our community and just being able to talk to a lot of people online and get connected with people in the industry. It's been sick. With that, we have been kind of busy and, you know, the show really is more of a hobby right now. It's something that we love to do, but it isn't our job. So you guys have been, you know, really cool about waiting for the shows and been really nice about it. So we appreciate that. And with that being said, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep cranking them out and hopefully get you some more amazing guests that we have lined up. And then we already have a lot recorded too. So today's guest is another heavy hitter in the skateboarding industry. It's Jordan Hoffert. And you've probably seen his most recent video part on the Barracks. It's called Full Part. And if you haven't seen it, pause this right now. Go check it out on the Barracks. It has one. I mean, his part has one of the most insane frontside flips I've ever seen. Let alone it's just a rad part. Go check it out, and then come back to this episode so you can listen to his interview. So, not only is Jordan out there putting out just amazing, you know, creative parts, but he's also breaking records. He's done acting. He's done a lot of really cool stuff, and he has a website called Going Hoff. Go to that website to check out all his videos and even win some free skate gear. It was a pleasure for us to talk to Jordan. I mean, he's super funny, really humble and honest guy. He was really honest about, you know, everything in his life, and it was really enjoyable to talk to him. So without further ado, here's our interview with Jordan Hoffert.
What's up, dude? That was quite an intro.
What's up, man? So you chilling out today? What's going on?
I wish I was chilling. Nah, I got two kids at home, never chilling.
There you go. So where were you at? You said you were at the OC Rams or what?
Yeah, I was at their warehouse in Santa Ana, and so every year they do like a signature obstacle with like each of the pros, you know?
Right.
So I had this thing called a butter bench last year, and so
nice.
It still sells, but they just to get like some new shit in the mix. So I was like thinking of stuff they didn't have, you know, because it's like a pop-up park pretty much. So we're thinking of different pieces that just like kind of fill in the gaps. So that was like people were digging that one. So we were just thinking of another one that we could do, and I was like, dude, why don't we just do like a speed lump, you know?
Oh yeah,
like a little, like a whoop. Like we OC hasn't made one of those, and like they're pretty essential to like in between the ramps. Just, you know, it's just like it's just fun to go over, and it's funny when you get into like shipping and like pocket parks and like that kind of thing, because you got to think about dimensions outside of like ideal for skating. You got to think like packaging and then shipping costs and right. All this stuff. So we're just in the warehouse, like kind of basically just chopping it up to see like how wide it can be, how long it could be.
That's fucking
dope. Was like still functional, but then, you know, it still like passes the shipping like point, because shipping gets crazy expensive when you get into like freight stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so it's a weird game to play for sure. Stuff and I don't usually have to think about.
Is that like nationwide that you guys are shipping, or like?
I know it's nationwide. I think they might ship to Canada even, but I could be wrong. But it's definitely like U.S. No doubt.
Well, you know what? We saw you. You know, the first time I saw you actually was on the Ride Channel. You know, I saw you on Weekend Buzz, I think,
right. Mm-hmm.
And then. You know, after that interview, I immediately started checking out your parts and was really blown away because, dude, like, those parts were sick. And then, you know, I checked out your firing line and you had just, like, this whole different thing that you were doing, you know, like a really long board slide. Did anyone check on that, by the way? Like, is that a record or anything?
Check on that as what do you mean?
Like, I mean, dude, that seemed like one of the longest board slides of, I mean, ever that you did in that firing line for Thrasher.
Yeah. I mean, Thrasher tagged on their social media, they tagged Guinness in it. I think it was more like a joke, but I could possibly be in there in the running, but I just don't really know how to go about doing that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, ever since I saw the Guinness show, like, there was a dude that was, like, breaking arrows on his neck, like, how many arrows he could break in, like, a minute. And I was like, dude, this guy's fucking retarded. So I was like, do I really give a shit if I'm, like, associated with that? It just kind of cheapened that whole deal for me after I saw that on TV. So that wasn't, like, something I really, like, cared to reach out for, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but, dude, 16 and a half feet for an ollie, that's... It's pretty impressive, man.
Well, I think the difference, it's not necessarily like in that kind of book, but in the skateboarding industry, that shit's legit.
Yeah.
And that's probably, you know. But there was Rob Dyrdek had his. Didn't he do stuff with Guinness?
Yeah.
He did. That's how people were telling me, like, did that beat Rob's board slide? Whatever. So, he definitely had like a. He made it fun, though, like, you know, like Fantasy Factory or
right.
Robin Big style, like, kind of like that, which was cool. And I think he did, like, a bunch of records, I guess.
Yeah, he was doing, like, an ollie and all that stuff, but...
But, yeah, yours was, I mean, I saw yours on a video, actually, where you guys, like, went out to, I want to say it was a board shop parking lot or something, and decided to try and go for the record, right?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really know our homework too much, but... we asked around, and I guess Jeremy Ray, the water tower gap was like 16 feet
right.
that he did. And then I guess Chris Markovich, they did a long ollie contest in like 2003, and he got like 16 feet 5 inches or something.
Damn.
So, which I found out about after we filmed my thing. So I was like, well, good thing I did 16.6. You know what I mean? Like, we just thought it was 16, but I was like, well, let's try to beat it by, like, enough, you know?
Right.
That's so crazy.
But it was more to kind of, like, throw it back. Because you remember, like, high ollie contests, like, back in the day?
Hell sure.
Like, the Reese Forbes and like Danny Wainwright thing. Like as a kid, I was like, that was like the most entertaining shit to me. So, but no one really kind of capitalized on doing a long ollie one. So I wasn't really trying to be like, oh, this is the world record or whatever. I just kind of wanted to throw it out there, like spark kids to like
try some
draw
shit.
lines in the ground and like see how far they can ollie or something. You know, we kind of wanted them to like submit videos of kids just ollieing like super far. I just thought it'd be fun, you know.
That's what's up. You know, I just, Jordan, you got a freaking great story, you know, and we thank you so much for coming on the show. If, you know, for someone that's kind of tuning in and doesn't quite know who you are, do you mind just taking a second and kind of just introducing yourself and kind of letting us know where you're from?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, my name's Jordan Hoffert. I was born in Maple Ridge, British Columbia, Canada, which is about 45 minutes east of Vancouver. Yeah, grew up there. I got an older sister and mom and dad, pretty good group of people, and they're always very supportive of whatever I wanted to do. And then yeah, after high school, moved into the city, met the skate industry there, and then kind of made the jump down to San Diego. I should say Huntington first, right. And then with the team manager for Powell at the time for a couple of years, and then until I got on my feet, and then I kind of branched out, and now I live in Vista, California, and yeah, I wanted to be a pro skater, wanted to take a shot at being a pro skater, so took the jump, and it worked out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say. So we're gonna go into that jump a little bit more, but for now, can you take us back to when you first started skating? Like, when did that happen, and what was the circumstance?
All right, so my uncle was a freestyler in the 80s, like 70s, 80s kind of deal, you know. He wasn't pro or nothing, but he just was into it. And he stayed with us one summer, and he brought his freestyle board.
Sick.
And he kind of, like, pulled it out, and I was 6 years old. Or I was five, actually. And then so he just brought it out, and he was doing, like, just, like manual, like, tail skids, like,
yeah.
Snake, you know, like,
dope.
Back and forth kind of stuff.
Sick.
And I was like, whoa, that's so crazy. Or I was, like, a little kid, so I probably, like, shit my pants or something. But anyway, so I just thought it looked super cool. And then he let me, like, stand. He kind of pretty much taught me how to, like, roll on a board and whatnot. And so after the summer when he took off, he gave me his board. And so I was like, oh, hell yeah. And so I skated on that for a while, and then for Christmas that year, my parents got my sister and I, like, matching Nash, like, boards. They were, like, black and neon green, and neon green. They were shitty, but they were tied at the same time, you know?
Yeah,
that's dope.
So my sister and I, like, started skating together. She was older. She was, like, four years older than me. But, you know, at the time, it was pretty dope. And my dad actually then built me two quarter pipes, like, they were 3 feet high, and they hit, like, vert at 3 feet. He didn't really know what he was doing, but those were the ramps that I, like, learned how to drop in on and everything. So that's kind of how it took off. I was pretty much, when I got my board for Christmas, that was, like, when it really hit, you know?
Right. And what's really cool about your story, I mean, you were involved with other things as a kid as well. Can you go a little bit into that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was just kind of like kid shit. Like, when you're six, you don't, everything's tight. You have ADD. Like, you know, every direction you look at, you find something that's cool. So that's kind of where I was at with skating at that time. It was fun. But then I got into, like, drumming. I played the drums. And then because I idolized my sister, dude, I'll admit it. Like, I got into dancing, which is kind of gay, but it was all good.
Man.
And then, but not this kind of, not the dancing I was doing was, like, hella gay.
Oh, okay. Or, like, ballet?
Like,
it was
jazz and tap and shit. It wasn't, like, salsa or, like, hip-hop or anything kind of like that. It was, like, super whatever.
You
but,
never
know.
You never know, man. It might have helped your, I don't know, helped a move or something. Maybe
yeah,
your 360s,
man, your balances
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, hope, I mean, yeah, definitely, for sure. But, and so, but you know what it did get me into was gymnastics, and then I was in gymnastics, and I did karate as well. On karate hit pretty hard. Like, once I started doing that, everything else kind of, like, I was kind of overdoing everything else. So I did karate probably like till I was 13, 14. So from I was like 8 to like 14. And then I kind of lost interest because after like, I started skating again pretty hard, like midway through I was 10 and then 11. So 11 was like when skating kind of like came full circle again because my buds, like I was a little older and my buds got boards for their birthdays and shit. Right. So I had people to like progress with. And then it's kind of a wrap after that. Like still drummed and still did. I still played the drums and still did karate for a couple of years, but then those kind of got phased out when skating kind of progressed, you know?
And what was it about skateboarding that made that other stuff, you know, irrelevant?
Like phase out?
Yeah.
It just held my attention a lot longer. Like, it just, I don't know, it just felt like, I don't know if you guys are motorcycle enthusiasts, mm-hmm. but... It's kind of like when you're driving a motorbike and you're, like, in the open road and, like, the wind kind of, like, you just feel free mm-hmm. and as opposed to being in a car. So it's kind of like skateboarding had the best attributes from, like, all the shit I did. You know what I mean? So it's like you could create whatever you wanted. You could make this, like, what, you know, make this thing do whatever you could think of, you know? And then you had the sense of freedom because it was just you cruising on this board with, like, the wind. You're just out there, you know?
Hell
you
yeah.
didn't have to necessarily, like, organize a group of people to do it. You could just go and do it, and if people wanted to come, cool. If not, you know, whatever. And that was pretty much it, dude. It was like, and then, like you said, like, you create whatever you want, so it just held your attention. It wasn't, like, one right way of doing things. You didn't have to repetitively do one thing over. If you're over it, you could try something else, you know? Yeah. It wasn't, like, learning how to play an instrument or, like, read music. It was, like, I don't know. There wasn't, like, any wrong way to go about it. So I really like that. And I feel like people, you know, school systems especially, there's, like, a very specific way to learn things. And it doesn't, like, cater to everybody. It really limits people's growth, like, that way of learning.
Right.
And I liked how skating wasn't like that. It was, like, you could come at it from 100 different angles and get 100 different outcomes. But they were all good. And they were you're always going to learn something, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense when you say it like that, because it was kind of the anti everything you were doing. You know, like drums are very stationary. You can't really, like, you know, walk around with your drums and go play at someone's house.
You
know what I mean? Like, but
yeah.
All those things, you know, when you found skateboarding, you're like, wow, this is something completely different. I can go wherever I want, do whatever I want. And I'm sure that is a reason why a lot of people fall in love with it, too.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, you don't, you know, like, and you don't have, like, you didn't have, I mean, at the time, you didn't have coaches yelling at you.
Right.
Like, did I that wrong, or whatever, I mean, you know, skateboarding's obviously changed, I kind of have to just laugh at it, but, yeah, it's definitely at that, you know, where it was at was just kind of, like, a really cool, skateboarding was at a really cool place, you know?
Yeah, I kind of trip on that, though, Jordan. I gotta ask, what do you think about that, because... The way I look at it right now, skateboarding is kind of where maybe, I don't know, basketball and football was a couple decades ago when people started really realizing, like, okay, you can get really good at this if you just start earlier or
train,
maybe have
actually.
A coach or something. Like, what's your take on all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. It's just like any sport, it's, like, turned into a really real organized sport. And it's obviously the kids... you know, group got popular enough with the youth that it turns the big wigs heads and they know they can make a profit out of it, you know? And, you know, with that being said, it's gonna get a lot more money and then a lot more organized so that money doesn't go to waste. So in come the coaches and any, you know, and then, you know, it's just like anything. It's like the early stages of all those other sports, you know? It was like started as fun and it was sick and, you know, it's just a group of homies trying to have a good time, and then, you know, it progresses into something else always. I mean, that's just life with everything. It's always going to progress into something, you know?
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I was just going to say, as far as the tricks go, as far as, like, the level of ability for people, it seems like that's really the reason we're seeing, like, you know, 13-year-old rippers that are just, like, you know what I mean? Like, they have skate parks to go to. They have people that have maybe coached them through the internet or whatever else, other way, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, the cool thing is that I think there will always be, like, because you know how there's, like, street hoops now? You know what I mean? Like, the street level of basketball or whatever, and there's, those, like, that whole side of it, and then there's NBA. So, I don't feel like the sense, like, the reason people start skating, I don't think that'll ever go away. And, like, obviously the longer you skate, the more you understand, like, what you have in front of you and what it's all about. But then there'll also be, you know, the street league, the NBA of skateboarding, you know. So there'll be, like, two or maybe even more avenues. But I don't think, like, the soul or the street skating, the real basis will ever die. I think it'll be a lot harder for those people to make a living off that without having to do, like, the contest corporate-sponsored stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting you said that, you know. So on the show, I mean, you're a pro skater, so someone listening, obviously they're intrigued about, you know, if they want to be pro, they want to, you know, go that route. But obviously we wanted to have you on the show because you have your hand in a lot of other businesses as a skater, you know. But to kind of hit on both audiences, how was your, like, as a pro skater, you've always been touched by different skate shops and stuff like that. So what was, like, your journey in that? Like, how did you get started with that?
Just kind of being open to understanding, like, how the business worked, really. I mean, a lot of, you know, when you get sponsored, like, pretty young, I mean, you're pretty clueless and you're just like, okay, I just do tricks and they get free stuff and life's simple, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When
did you get your first sponsor?
I actually wrote for this guy. It was PD's Hot Shop, and he's also the owner of Skull Skate. I don't know if you guys remember that brand back in the 80s.
No.
But,
what was it called?
Skull Skates.
Oh.
It's just basically skull. A skull, and then it said skates underneath it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't know. It was a Canadian brand, but it was, like, popular in the 80s, and then it kind of, like, kept having, like, this cult following. But anyway, the dude PD, like, I was skating with my buddy at one of the local parks up in Vancouver, and he just came up to me after we were skating. He's just like, hey, like, you guys look like you're having a lot of fun, and, you know, I want to give you my card, and if you guys ever need a board, like, come by the shop, and I'll give you a board, you know? So I guess it was more like just like a hookup kind of, but that was like, I think that was probably like the realest sponsor, you know, that I've had, because it was like, hey, you know, you guys look like you're having a lot of fun, and like, I want you to skate the shit out of these boards, and then when it's thrashed, like, come by and I'll give you a new one, you know? Like, that's kind of like, that was rad, you know, because he didn't have to do anything. We were just kids, you know? It wasn't really about like, hey, I'm going to promise you millions of dollars, but he was like, hey, you kids are like, you know, you guys are getting it, you know, this is what it's all about, and I want to keep you guys stoked on it, you know? So that was tight.
That's dope,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and I'm sure maybe, I mean, would you say if we asked, like, who influenced you? I mean, would you say that he's one of those people, or do you have someone else that maybe influenced your mindset as far as when it comes to how you approach things in your professional career?
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely, like, the first guy, like, because he was always, like, a core dude, and he still is, and, like, he doesn't make a grip of money or nothing, but he still keeps the business afloat, and he's sustainable, and that's, like, in itself, that's probably, like, the hardest thing to do, so I got, like, mad respect for that guy, and those words that he said when he told me that, like, they've always just kind of, like, stuck with me, you know, like, you got not, like, hey, you're really good, like, you ride for or whatever. It was just like, hey, you're having a lot of fun, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, and that was always at early age, like, the way he phrased that, like, stuck with me. But so outside of him, I mean, growing up, the dudes were like Alex Chalmers, Sluggo, those are definitely, I'd say Alex Chalmers was, yeah, like, earliest influence. And then my first skate video was the Airwalk promo video in 95, and that was like Jason Lee and Christian Soy was in that one, and, you know, a handful of other guys, but it was like, it was going back to that fun element, because it was like Jason playing tennis with his pro shoe, and then it cut into skateboarding, but it was like him just kind of fucking around, like, being an idiot, like, joking around, you know, and it was like, and then cut into skating. And I was like, how that, you know, that's genius. Like, it wasn't a matter. It didn't matter how crazy the tricks were. It was like, just the aesthetic of the video just made you like feel good and like want to go out and shred around. So it was like, that video was like religiously played in my VCR.
That's what's up, man. So, okay. So we want to really kind of draw out what we can learn from all of that too. You know, someone that's listening might be where you were, you know, years ago. What advice could you give someone that maybe is looking forward to maybe trying to go pro and, you know, keeping those words in mind of, you know, really just sticking to having fun?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know a better word, like bitters me. Like, it makes me a little, skating is not like what it was, you know? I don't think it'll ever will be again. Now, like you said, it's like the level of skating's progressed so gnarly. The organizational level of skating's been crazy, like, high now. It's, like, comparable to other major league sports. Like, it's a sport comparatively. Mm-hmm. So nowadays, it's like, yeah, if you're a kid and you really want to get sponsored, like, if you want to just have, like, yeah, obviously, like, having fun is the goal. And I'd almost tell you, like, don't try to get sponsored, just have fun, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's like, skateboarding is a whole different game now. So it's like, I don't really know what to tell kids, you know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, probably practice your ass off, you know, and do like the hardest tricks and be super consistent, like, I guess. You
know what I mean? Well, do you think there's a balance? I mean, do you think that you can still be having fun, but looking at it like,
I see it this way. I mean, Jordan, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I guess, but it's like depends on how you view what's fun. I just think it draws a different type of person now. Like,
right.
The people that started skating, like when I was skating, like we weren't into like perfecting or like organized practicing and sporting mentality. We're like, we just kind of want to fuck around and like, you know, smoke. Whatever, like we're 12, 13, like do shit that we thought was like badass, you know, and like just fuck around, and skating was like the best shit ever. But now it's like the demographic, you know, is the people that are attracting, the people that skateboarding is attracting is the same people that football is attracting. You know what I mean? It's like competitive people, you know, super athletic people. Like, it's a whole different demographic. So it's like their mentality coming into it is completely different than, like, what mine was at that age, you know?
Right.
You know, I like that you said that. But the same, you know, I look to, you know, OGs like you that keep it, your style still the same way. You're actually having a big part in the social media, like with your website. But you're putting stuff out there. You're having fun, you know, breaking records, just doing stuff like that. I mean, it shows. I mean, that's a... I don't know. That's how I see it, personally.
Yeah.
You know, compared to other types of, like you were saying, like, so when I see like P-Rod and stuff, they have their own skate park where they have their own practice sessions. I mean, shit, if I was a kid or if I was, I'm old enough now, but to have like a skate park in my backyard and have my homies come skate, like, hell yeah, you better come out. Like, that's, I don't know. That's what we used to do as, you know, youngsters and stuff like that. But just the whole sense of it. I understand what you're saying about, you know, keeping it to having fun with skateboarding.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just so many different ways you can, like, answer the question, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I just, and they're all probably right. I just don't, it's like I said, it's just changed so much that I, like, don't even know, I don't even know how to answer that for kids because I don't know which demographic of kids is really listening to me.
Well, let's go back into, yeah, I mean, I totally understand. And it's all about that perspective, you know, of what your intentions, you know. Can you talk about when you realized that you needed to do something creative? Do you always feel that way? Or was it... you know, like, let's say like your website and the videos you do, and, you know, you deciding to, you know, just do anything creative. Like, is that something that you always want to do, or did you kind of, were you led there?
I think it comes in waves. I just wanted to make shit that was entertaining, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I guess I just kind of had been entertaining. Like, I got in the entertainment industry, like, when I was younger, like, in, you know, I was young. I was, like, 13, 14 when I got into doing, like, stunt work and got a taste of that whole world, you know?
Right.
And I just really enjoyed, I guess, creating stuff. So as long as the content that I was making was, like, something different or, like, something fun and that made people want to do it, then that's kind of where my head was at, more or less, I guess. But it's kind of tough, too. I mean, it hits you different ways, but it definitely comes in waves. You know, the creativity comes in waves for sure. It's not like I feel consistently creative. I'm pretty maxed out sometimes just with, like, life stress, you know what I mean? It, like, limits, like, the freedom of being able creativity to think outside the box sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, maybe some people don't know that about you, that you actually did get into, you know, child acting and stuff. How did you get into that? And then was that involving skateboarding too?
Yeah, I did. So Alex Chalmers kind of hooked me up with, like, a distributor for, like, I got on, like, S Shoes in Canada, you know?
Right.
So he hooked me up and we skated the bowls, like, in North Vancouver, all those old, like, snake run bowls and stuff. So that's what I was kind of into. So I kind of became, like, friends as much as a 13-year-old could be friends with Alex Chalmers. He was probably, like, I don't know, 20, 21 at the time. So he was getting into the stunt industry with Sluggo, and they were kind of, like, getting quite a few gigs. So they'd always just look out for me if they needed a kid, and they'd just call me, and they'd kind of, like, you know, bring me in there as, like, a recommendation. So that's kind of how I got a taste of it. And I had another buddy too, this dude Dave Campbell. He's like a vert skater in Vancouver back in the day, but he was in the stunt industry as well. So between the three of them, they just always spit jobs to me, whether it was like a Fruit Loops commercial or, like, I don't know, like, just, you know, whatever, you know, like,
right.
Nature Valley Crunch. I don't know. I've done a lot of weird shit, but, but yeah, so, but I was appreciative. And then, you know, a couple of those gigs would pay out really well. There's one, I think it was the Fruit Roll-Ups commercial it was a Pop-Tarts commercial. And, I had a double this black kid, and I'm super white. So it was like, how is this going to work? And we had to share the same outfit because it was a low budge. But you'd think, you know, two pairs of pants isn't that much more. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, really? We got to share this? This is fucking ridiculous. And then on the bottom of my board, they painted Breakfast Crew. So I wasn't allowed to do any, like, disasters or rocks. So I could only do, like, 50-50s, 50-50s.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then do, like, the big air. But they, like, it was, like, a 3-foot mini ramp painted as a Pop-Tart. And they were like, all right, can you do, like, a 540 or, like, one of those, they didn't say 540. They're
those,
like,
900s.
Spins, and then, like, throw your board in, at the camera and then, like, land it. Like, because they wanted to see Breakfast Crew on the bottom of the board. And I was like, dude, like, I'm not a fucking wizard. Like, I don't, like, literally what you're saying is, like, completely defying, like, all laws.
It's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon shit.
Yeah, it was so mental. And then, so they had all this makeup on me to make me as dark as, they basically painted me black. And I had to share this fool's, like, clothing. So they're like, don't sweat. And I was like, what? Dude, for real? Like, this is insane. Like, I was, like, so close to having a breakdown as, like, a kid. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, my God.
Made it near impossible. So I had to do 50-50s. I remember I could only do 50-50s. I couldn't sweat because the makeup would run and I'd have these white, like, lines down my face all the time. And I'd make all his clothes, like, because he had to put them back on, so they're all, like, gross. And then, I don't know, it was fucking crazy. But that was kind of like, but then, okay, so all said and done, I'm rambling, but all said and done, it was like a two-day shoot. And then every 6 to 7 weeks, I'd get this paycheck because it was royalties for like $6,000, $8,000, you know, somewhere in there, like every 6, 7 weeks. And I'm like 14. And my mom's like looking at these checks like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that lasted for probably a good year, you know, or year and a half. Like, so like, I got caked up like pretty good at a young age. And I don't know if that was like a good thing or a bad thing, but it was tight, you know?
Yeah, dude. I was just going to say, like, is there anything worse than like when someone doesn't skate and they're like ordering you to do tricks? Like, it just feels really harsh. But then whenever you get those checks, you're like, hell yeah, that was worth it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, that's kind of like, that's kind of like you could say that about skating right now. It's like, yeah, are all the things changes that are happening with all these big companies coming in like a good thing or a bad thing? But it's like they're buying all these skaters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, these skaters are looking at these checks like, damn, that's fucking tight. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can kind of say that about the industry in general now. But anyway, yeah.
Well,
I'm guilty. I can't say I'm above it because I took the money.
Well, dude, I mean, I really like that, though. I feel like it's good that you're talking about stuff like this because not a lot of skaters would, you know, like a lot of people would just be like, oh, I'm not trying to front on, you know, what I did or and all that kind of thing. But I really feel like whenever skateboarders are getting paid, that's the bottom line right there. Like, I just want to see skateboarders, you know,
be able to
make a living. Yeah.
For skateboarding because it
is. Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, yeah. I think that progression and that's why I was like kind of rambling on before, but it's going that way. And these skaters are allowing themselves to make a living and just skate. So, I mean, like you said, it's like, fuck, there's like a gift and a curse. But bottom line is these guys are making money doing it.
Well, and also, but Jordan, I feel like you're doing something a little bit different though.
Yeah.
I mean, because you have your website, right? Can you talk a little bit about that and then what the direction is with it and, you know, why you have your website the way it is?
Right. Okay, so that was more or less just like a hub. Like, I don't really try to draw a ton of traffic to it because it wasn't really supposed to be like a platform. It was just more like maybe it was just kind of maybe if you heard of me, like, you could go look me up and get more info on me. So I just wanted to create like a page where it was like straightforward. Those are my videos. Like, you kind of get a more or less grasp of like what I'm all about and what I'm doing. But then we built this skate park in my backyard, which is like a bowl. For whatever reason, I decided to do a bowl, even though I can't skate bowls. But so we kind of were like, oh, this would be cool to do like some segments, like with guest pros or guest skaters in the bowl, and just kind of do like fun segments as well. So it kind of turned into that aspect, like not trying to be like the barracks and have like a segment every day, you know, but just have people come over and do different things and have it in a bowl setting as opposed to like the street obstacles, because there wasn't like a whole lot of that, you know?
Right.
So then there was kind of that aspect of it too. And then the whole thing with going off was like obviously like going off, like obviously, but it was kind of just to poke fun at that, you know, poke fun at myself or just keep it light, you know? And it's obviously way easier to remember and kids coming up to me and be like, hey, are you Jordan, like, hot, pop, fart, you know? And it's just like, oh, butchered.
You know? It happens.
So it's like, oh, like, hop, like, oh, you're going off. It just sticks a lot better. It's just kind of like, wait, it's cheesy, for sure, but, you know, whatever, it works.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. So what do you got your hands in nowadays? Like, what's your direction you're going now?
Well, I just had a new baby, so
congrats.
The direction is just trying to be an adequate father. I'm not going to say good, because if you talk to my wife, I'm probably not the best, because she's losing her mind, but she is such a great mother that it's making me, like, it's making my job a lot easier.
Right.
But he's taught me a lot, man, so I'm just trying to, like, kind of be there, you know, it's crazy. I was always the one that was like, come on, we gotta, you know, like, even with my stepson and stuff, I was like, come on, let's go on like a trip. Like, I'm constantly always going, you know, so I like trying to like get them going, but they're like more homebodies. So like for me to like stay home for a while, I had to like learn, train myself that that was okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
But now the feeling of leaving feels weird because I just want to like be there for them, you know? So, it's a whole different kind of like, feeling for me, you know, just this want to like be home and like be with this little creation. So, just teaching myself how to be the best dad I can be right now. And then outside of that, I'm like, I brought up the notion of doing a skate park for the, with the barracks, like a street park. And there's early talks, me, Barra and I and Kevin Duffel kind of talked about doing one, and I think they're pretty stoked on the idea. So I'm just going to get a bunch of footage together and throw it on a timeline and get it like a good chunk to where I can send it to them and be like, okay, this is where we're at. Like, and then kind of just sit down and like really, really plan out like a plan of attack of how we want to go about creating it and releasing it. So hopefully I'll have a new part out by like late spring, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd be working right on that. And then Sunday I leave, right after I say I've been staying home. but I'm only going for a week, but, Sunday I leave with Manny Santiago, to Puerto Rico for his annual Prince of Puerto Rico contest that we judge and like coordinate. And then we like make it like a full skate tour on the island too. And Puerto Rico's got a lot of sick spots. So excited.
Man, the shit, dude.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, he was actually on our show, like one of our earlier guests, I think.
Oh, sick. Hell yeah.
He's so rad. So, man, that's awesome. Being a dad, being a pro skater, I'm sure it's got to take up so much of your time. We really appreciate you calling us, Jordan.
Yeah, no worries, dude.
So with that being said, where can people check out some of your videos and check out all of your stuff online and maybe even connect with you via social media?
Totally. So, like we said, there's a website, goinghoff.com. It's kind of laid out in like a blog format. So it's like, you just scroll, it's pretty easy to see what we're up to. And then check out the other hubs. Like, I do stuff with the Barracks and do stuff with Thrasher, and the Ride Channel is always a good one. And Transworld. So all the like major skateboard media hubs are other places to find me. And then my social media handle is at goinghoff. So you can check out Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at goinghoff. And there's probably like 10 other social media ones that are relevant that I have no idea about yet. But you know what I'm saying. So feel free to follow or check out what I got going on if you're interested. And I appreciate all the support big time for sure.
All right. And then if you can just leave our listeners with just one last little bit of advice, you know, everyone that's listening is trying to maybe start a project or a business or maybe even just get started with something. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah. You know, there was one thing that I always felt like I missed, and I just kind of started to realize it now. But when I was skating this ramp, I was probably about 16, 17, and it was raining, and we were in an indoor park, and I just remember we were like, traffic was shitty, it was like taking forever to get there, we're all in bad moods, and then we got there, and we're just like ripping around, and not really like just kind of getting the frustration out, and then there's this one dude that like came and skated the mini ramp, and it was my buddy was trying to learn nose grind popping, you know, and he was just getting so frustrated because we were all just riled up. And he was like, dude, you got to enjoy the grind. And I was like, oh, what? Like, he's like, dude, just enjoy the grind, man. So, and then sure enough, like, he like made, you know, my buddy like relaxed. He a couple tries later, he like pulled it off because he was just relaxed, just enjoying himself. And for whatever reason, that, you know, those simple words kind of always stuck with whatever I'm doing, and especially now as I'm older and how fast time's gone by, I'm just trying to tell myself, like, hey, like, enjoy the grind means, like, enjoy, like, these precious days you have, like, skating, and, you know, now with my son, like, enjoy these days, you know, like, really take them in for, like, everything they are, because because when I was younger, I was just such, I was so high strung and like trying to get to the next thing and like pushing yourself, which is great. But I kind of missed a lot of those good times and a lot of those special moments because I was just so concentrated on where I was wanted to be. And I just kind of forgot to like enjoy it, you know? So hindsight, I wish I would have just like soaked that up a little bit more. So like when we say like skateboarding, you know, you got into it for fun. Like that's the truth, you know what I mean? Like really have fun, like really enjoy that time you have on the board, like with your buddies, because those are the times when like the best shit comes out anyway. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I just don't want people growing up so fast or like trying to plow through it so fast that they miss out on all that like experience. Because the, you know, at the end of the day, it's like your experiences and your memories are kind of like what create who you are as a person. So if you just like bypass all that, then it's like you don't really got anything, you know?
Hell yeah, dude. That's really well put, man. Thank you so
dropping
much for that.
Knowledge.
Yeah, because it's really hard to remember that in the moment. So, you know, it's good that you kind of tell yourself that and make a conscious effort. So, again, man, Jordan, thank you so much. And we'll be definitely connecting with you soon and hitting you up.
Hell yeah. I appreciate it, dude. You guys are awesome.
I appreciate it, man. We'll catch you at the next session, man.
All right, sounds good,
me. Like